of more or less the nation of Israel, who had gone into idolatry. Again and again and again, God disciplined them in the midst of their idolatry. And he said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." In another place, I believe in Jeremiah, God said, "Ye shall find me when you seek me with your whole heart," or "with all of your heart, ye shall find me." We oftentimes are reminded in the New Testament and the writings, as we draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto us. But He's given us the example that it ought to be a drawing wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. It's either all or nothing. The doctor gave us an ultimatum this week with my dad, and they said it's either all or nothing. You either do the chemo or you don't. I said, "What about lesser degrees of the chemo that would help, but not so strong and not so dangerous and toxic?" He said, "It's all or nothing." My dad elected to go the whole route, and he went down rapidly after that. And so he's in a semi-coma at the present time in ICU, and he's not on life support, but he is going down rather rapidly. I expect to get a call. I just talked to them before I came in here. Expect to get a call at any time. It's either all or nothing. Well, when you're dealing with God, it's either all or nothing. God wants all of your heart. He wants you wholeheartedly to serve Him. He wants you wholeheartedly to love Him. He wants you wholeheartedly to give Him attention. Not part-time, not some of the time, but wholeheartedly. You know, you can't learn to ride a bicycle half-heartedly. You got to throw yourself into it, or you're going to fall over and crash again and again and again. Roller skating is the same way. Learning to swim is the same way. You got to put your all into it and go all the way. If you try it half-heartedly, you're going to get hurt, or you're going to get killed, or you're going to drown, or something of that nature. When I was playing football, all the time our boys were growing up and they were playing football, you'd hear it repeated again and again. Put a hat on somebody, hit somebody, hit them. And if you hit them with all that you have, it doesn't hurt as much as if you hold back and you let them hit you. Boy, you're going to get hurt. But if you lay a lick on somebody wholeheartedly, it doesn't hurt nearly as bad. It sounds horrible up in the stands, but it's not that bad. Wholeheartedly, the dangers of an empty heart. Here's the idea that Israel served God without a wholeheartedness. They would be disciplined. They would repent of their idolatry, and they'd come back to God. But their heart was still empty. And pretty soon, the demonic spirits of idolatry would come back and drag them farther back into idolatry again. And God would discipline, and they'd repent. And they come back, but not wholeheartedly. And then the demons of idolatry would come back again, and they were worse than the second time and worse than the first time. And finally, God let Israel go off into bondage for many, many years. And now Israel's back in their own land. They're not idol worshipers anymore. They may not be believers in Jesus Christ, but they're believers in one God, and they are not idol worshipers any longer. Now here's the moral of the story. An empty heart. They never filled their heart with God. An empty heart is a dangerous situation. Listen to me, child of God. An empty heart is an invitation to the devil. Well, you say, "I'm born again. I'm a child of God." May I remind you, the only way that you get born again is through Jesus Christ. It's not through the church. It's not through your good works. It's not through your deeds. It's not through your money. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says they overcame Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only hope and the help that we have. I had so many opportunities while Dad was in the nursing home and in the hospital. I took a handful of our tracts back, and I've been witnessing to people. I've had opportunities to talk to people that I went to school with, high school, that are now think my dad is a great guy, and they're good friends with him, and I've had opportunities this week. I've talked to Catholics. I've talked to Methodists. I've talked to all kinds of people. And I said, "I want to tell you something. There won't be any Catholics, Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, or any of that kind of stuff in heaven when we get there." And they were surprised to hear me say that. I'm a Baptist preacher. But there won't be denominations. Denominations are man-made. And the Catholic Church can never help you get to heaven. And the priest can't help you get to heaven. And the priest can't forgive you of your sin. Only the high priest that God has ordained can forgive of sin, and that's Jesus Christ. He is our high priest seated at the right hand of God this very moment. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That means literally that we put the life jacket on. There was years ago when some of my high school friends had a jet-powered ski boat. And when we lived in Arkansas, we had all kinds of lakes and things around, and water easily accessible. And we were going camping out on one of the lakes around Hot Springs, Arkansas, and we were going to go water skiing. I never water skied in my life. And I swam. You know, some people say I can swim like a duck, and some people say I can swim like a fish, and I can swim like a rock. And the harder I stroke, the faster I go down. And that's kind of the way it is. And so they said, come on and go with us. And I was apprehensive. And they handed me a life jacket. They said, put this on and tighten it up, and we'll show you how to water ski. Well, the first thing I did was put on the life jacket, tighten it up, and jump off the edge of the boat. I figured, if it doesn't work, I'm close enough they can reach down and grab me. I wanted to try the life jacket. And boy, I bobbed up like a cork. And with that confidence, I got up on my first ski trip and skied for a long, long ways, and that it was great. Now here's the point, and here's the moral. Jesus Christ is our help and our hope. Jesus Christ is our salvation and our deliverer, just like the life jacket is your salvation and deliverer in the water. But you can't know about Jesus. That's the way a lot of religious people are. I know Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ. He was born at Christmas. He died at Easter. I believe in Jesus Christ. But what they're saying is they believe in a historical Jesus. It's the same as people saying, I believe the life jacket is able to hold you up, but they won't put it on and jump off the edge of the boat. Are you with me? You have to put it on. You have to trust it. I put the life jacket on, I strapped it up, and I immediately jumped off the edge of the boat to see if it worked, and it did. Jesus Christ never lets you down. Jesus Christ is our only help, our only hope, and the only way to get into heaven, but you have to put him on. You have to trust him. It's not about going to church. It's not about doing good. It's not about tithes and offerings. It's not about how many prayers you memorize. It's not about how many times you've read the Bible. It is about trusting Jesus Christ as your help, your hope, and your deliverer. And if you don't put him on, you can know about Jesus, and never having trusted Jesus, you can die and go to hell. And that's the way a lot of religious people are. They've been taught, they know about Jesus, they know about heaven, they know about hell, but they never put on the life jacket of Jesus Christ's love and the love of God the Father. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. They never put on the jacket of Jesus Christ's love and the shed blood that he shed for them, and they've never been born again. They've never been saved through Jesus Christ. Amen. They know about him. They know about heaven. They know about hell. They can tell you everything about the church. They've read the Bible through. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, he said, in that day many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done many wonderful things in thy name? Well, it's not about doing things. It's about the one who's already done it for you. And his name is Jesus. So, child of God, here's the problem that we have. We're born again. We're saved through Jesus Christ. And some sin overtakes us. And so what we do is we get convicted by it because the Holy Spirit's in us. We get convicted by it and we turn from that sin. And we say, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to love my God. I'm going to live for my God. And I'm going to do right, do right, do right. And we take off on the journey. And before long, that sin that we forsook is like this evil spirit we just read about that comes back and says, boy, everything's nice and clean now. And it comes back and jumps on us tenfold more stronger than it was when we forsook it in the beginning. And you know why that happens? You know why that happens? Is because an empty heart is an invitation to the devil. Look at Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. Here's what Jesus said about it. For from within, out of the heart of men, 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 proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. Nobody ever committed a murder that never thought about it first, and it had a root taking place in his heart and his soul. No man ever committed adultery that didn't think about it first. It's not like having a flat tire driving down the road. You run over a piece of iron and it pops up and hits the sidewall and automatically it blows out and it's flat and you're on the side of the road. Adultery's not that way. Adultery is a preconceived idea in the heart of men, and it begins to be a fantasy. They begin to think about it, dream about it, and suddenly the opportunity comes along and they've already preconceived themselves to do it, and they do it. Why? Because the heart of men are evil. Jesus said it's within, out of the heart of men, that proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications and murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness. I tell you, there's so much wickedness on American TV today, it is so ungodly and filthy, no wonder our young people are going to the dogs. No wonder we're having so many problems with young people today in America. No wonder the adults are going in so many different directions and divorcing and remarrying. They're not stable. They're not satisfied. They don't have a clue. They don't have an idea, because the American television set gives us an idea of what we're supposed to want and supposed to have, and it gives an idea of something that cannot be had without sacrifice among the people that are married in this life. And to raise children today is hard work. It's hard work. You can't delegate it to a public school. You can't delegate raising children to the church. You can't delegate raising children to someone else. It's hard work. It's difficult, and it's sacrificing. And so we get programmed by American TV. We get programmed by American magazines. I went in Barnes & Noble not long ago looking for a certain book, and I went through the magazine rack to find a Bird Dog magazine, as a matter of fact. And there's all kinds of junk. I'm not even talking about the pornographic magazines. They keep those someplace else. But all kinds of junk across the covers of supposedly good magazines there. Go to Walmart and in the checkout line and get your eye full there. It's trash. Every bit of it is trash. Every bit of it. And then wonder why teenagers think and act and react the way they do. It's because we're filling our hearts. We have an empty heart. We get born again. We say, I'm going to live for God. But you leave your heart. You turn from sin. But you leave your heart empty. You have to fill your heart with good stuff. You have to fill your heart with the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord God. You have to fill your heart with the decency of God's Word, which is a light, and it's the path, and it's the way we ought to go. You have to fill your heart with good godly music. You have to fill your heart with fellowship of God's people that are around you, who've gone through the same things you're going through and can help you by their examples. You have to fill your heart with fellowship with Almighty God every single day. Why? Because if you don't, that sin you thought you left behind is going to come back tenfold and jump on you again. An empty heart is a dangerous situation. An empty heart is an invitation for the devil to come right on back in. You cannot turn over a new leaf. You cannot start over. You cannot have New Year's resolutions and turn from your old ways and leave your heart empty without filling it with the Word of God and the presence of God and the hope of God and the dreams of God and the ambitions of God. You must. When you leave it behind, you must put something else in its place. The dangers of an empty heart. Look at the thoughts of the evil heart. In Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5, way back in Genesis